You are listening to the ICW Safety Sound Off audio series with your host, Giovanni Tejada.
Hello, and welcome to the Safety Sound Off audio series. Today we have Glenn Ingraham, ICW Technical Specialist, here to talk about respiratory protection. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Gio.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about you?
Good. So I understand later on this year you're going to be doing a presentation, a webinar.
That's correct.
What exactly does a respirator do?
The purpose of a respirator is to prevent the person wearing it from inhaling some contaminant. Mm-hmm. That's basically what a respirator does.
And to the environment that they're working in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because some environments might be oxygen deficient, for example. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, you're not trying to keep a contaminant out. You're trying to make sure that you're not being exposed in any way to the environment. You're not breathing that environment. So you have to take your own air in with you when you go into an oxygen deficient environment.
How does an employer choose what respirator to use?
Good question. Anytime a respirator is being considered in the workplace, first, there has to be an understanding of what it is that a person is being protected against.
Okay, how do they know that? What are they protecting against?
By looking at reviewing the chemicals that are used in the workplace, mm-hmm. by reviewing the materials that people are working with, and looking at reviewing the activities that the employees are doing. For example, a metal bar of cadmium sitting on a shelf isn't going to hurt anybody. You wouldn't use a respirator for that. But if you started grinding that cadmium and producing real fine cadmium dust, or if you started or stainless steel and you started grinding or welding it, you're going to produce contaminants for which you'd want some protection.
How do employers find the right respirator?
It starts with understanding the kinds of jobs that employees do and understanding the materials that they're working with. Understanding the potential health effects of the materials that they're working with, it's one thing for an employee in a workplace to be transferring, say, amorphous silica, a kind of sand, from one vessel to another with a scoop. It's another thing to be transferring potassium cyanide from one vessel to another with a scoop, because the dust being generated with the amorphous silica or the sand is so much less toxic than that being generated with something more, much more toxic, such as potassium cyanide. And so as a result, the employer needs to understand what are employees working with, what are they doing with those materials, and what are the health effects that are potentially posed by those materials. Now, few employers do that kind of deep analysis. Most are using kind of just a thumb in the wind shotgun approach, and they recognize that I'm working with some hazardous stuff, so here, wear this respirator in that environment. Mm-hmm. And that's a very common approach. One way to get there, again, is to understand the materials they're working with and mm-hmm. what their health effects are, but then also to understand what the concentration is that you're going to protect them against. And only way to understand what the concentration is to bring in a qualified person who can perform a technical analysis mm-hmm. of those materials and the potential for airborne contaminants from whatever that process is, or bring somebody in to do actual air sampling.
What do you use to measure that?
There's a couple of different ways to do it. The traditional way is to hang an air pump on an employee, run some Tygon tubing up to a filter, a cassette, or a sorbent tube. And this is typically a job that's done by an industrial hygienist with materials that are obtained from laboratories that will also analyze those samples. And they collect an air sample on an employee for a specific period of time, oftentimes a whole work shift. The goal being to understand what is that employee's average exposure to methyl ethyl chicken wire or whatever the material is that I'm concerned about. And in those cases, the data will tell them how close they are to an established exposure limit. OSHA has exposure limits. Other agencies have them as well. But OSHA is generally going to hold employers accountable for not exposing their employees above the OSHA exposure limit.
With the respirators, how often should they be maintained? Is it every day after work?
Every respirator should be cared for after its use. The typical process when using a respirator is that you will inspect a respirator like any good piece of personal protective equipment or any piece of safety gear. You're going to inspect the respirator before you put it on. And if you're wearing a dust mask, it's real simple. Are the straps there? Is the thing not torn? It's not cut? You know, there's no problems with it? It's not deformed in some weird way? According to the manufacturer's instructions, I'm going to wear it properly. When I'm finished wearing it, you can imagine that a tight-fitting respirator, even one that is a half mask that only goes around your nose and mouth and chin, is going to accumulate oils from your face and sweat and grime from the workplace. So you want to clean it off. And one of the challenges we often see is that while an employer may provide employees with respirators, they don't necessarily provide them with the means to maintain it easily on a regular basis. But it's done very easily. Any respirator manufacturer will also sell, and most supply houses, safety supply houses, will sell boxes of little wipes that you can buy, and you just tear open the packet and pull out the wipe and wipe down the surfaces. Reusable respirators really like a nice, like most of us, they really like a nice warm bath and a nut with mild soapy water. And, you know, it's great. Maybe once a week you should, after cleaning it on a daily basis, should give it a good, complete, deeper cleaning at least once a week.
Can you tell me how respirators changed in the past 30 years?
The technology has been in the improvement of the cartridges, improvement of the materials that respirators are made with so that they're more supple, they fit the face a lot better, they follow the contours. There's been improvements in the cartridge technology so that they're more efficient, but there's been a lot of technology in filtering face pieces. They have gotten much better at following the contours of the face, of fitting people. They are equipped with exhalation valves now, whereas they didn't used to. And it allows us to more easily separate out respirators, true respirators, from things like surgical masks, which some places still use. And a surgical mask is not a respirator. That protects the quality of the food or the patient or whatever from having the person wearing from their goobers getting onto the patient or the food. But it does not protect the person wearing it at all.
All right. Thank you. This comes to the end of part one of this podcast on respiratory protection. Please check out part two to hear more about respirators.